He sees the. The parasha begins in the second pasuk. Kisisa es rosh bnei Yisrael b'fkudeihem. When you lift up bnei Yisrael, the heads of bnei Yisrael, according to their pekudim, as Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out, what is this lifting up? The lifting up is to show the chashivas of each and every yid, no matter what his position, as Rashi points out in B'midbar, the translation of Pekuda is appointing a job that one has to understand no matter what job he has in this world. If he fulfills it to the utmost of his capabilities, b'chol koichoi v'nafshoi, he is equal to anyone else, no matter what your position in life. That is also the point why each one had to give a machatzis a shekel, not less, not more. To show this point, that one has to understand they're not any lower because they're, so to speak, the private in Hashem's army instead of the general. Hashem gave koiches, capabilities to each and every individual. He needs each and every one to do their job. And that's why it wasn't a whole shekel, it was a half a shekel that had to be given. To point out that each one, so to speak, is only a half, even if he does his full job to the fullest with all his koiches, he shouldn't be satisfied with that. He should understand that he has to feel that every other yid is only part of the whole. If you don't have the whole doing what they're supposed to do, all Bnei Yisrael together, the Achdus, that shouldn't satisfy him if there's that lack, even if he's doing his job to his fullest. That's the ideal. With the others wanting that, Avraham Avinu, for instance, he wasn't satisfied by his own accomplishments. He wanted the whole world to serve Hashem to its fullest capabilities. Moshe Rabbeinu, Mi Yitein Kolam Hashem Nevi'im. That was his biggest hope. And that's what the Torah is pointing out here also. That in order to do the full job, don't think you're any less or any bigger than the other one. As with Moshe, we saw in our own times of Tzal, that no matter what person's station in life, he didn't feel any bigger than that person, because he knew what he was given. The job to be the Posek Hadar with his capabilities. And that didn't make him any bigger in the truest sense than another person, even if he might have been an Amoret. But it could have been that that was all he could have been, like the Tinish of Nishbuch, whatever it might be. But whatever Koiches that Hashem gave him, if he used it to the fullest, it's equal. In all of the MS, no matter how low the person is, he can be equal to the greatest, because he is the greatest. That's what Hashem is pointing out here. As long as you do your utmost, whatever position in life you were granted. And, as we said, not to be satisfied with your own accomplishment, even if you, Baruch Hashem, accomplished it fully. But you know when you accomplish it fully? If you don't feel and try whatever you can do, that all others that's in your grasp to help and make them accomplish to their best ability, and not feel satisfied till that's accomplished too, then you haven't done your fullest. And as the Baal HaTurim points out, the Lashon V'Nasanu Ish Kofem Afsha, that they should give. If you notice, the word V'Nasanu, backwards and forwards, spells the same. To teach you that when someone gives the way Hashem wants you to give, you never lose. You get it back in spades, so to speak. You can never lose by doing the right thing. If you're doing what Hashem wants, it's a guarantee that the only thing you get is only gain, greatest gain, never any loss. In Pasuk Chaf Gimel and further on, the Torah speaks about the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil. As Rosh Hashiv and Kol Dodi explain so beautifully, that first of all we have to understand the holy Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, the holy anointing oil, when it was used to anoint, for instance, Aaron and his children, we have to understand that you can pour all the oil in the world, if the person themselves do not bring themselves to the Kadosh, holy Siddkis, in righteousness, to be the biggest tzaddik that they can be on their own, with their Bechira, it won't help. The anointing oil is like a catalyst to bring out the innate goodness of that person, which he has to choose to do. As we know, Rachman Utslan, Yor Kohanim Rishoyim, the Bizman of the Beis HaMikdash, that didn't follow the example of Aaron HaKohen and all the other Kohanim Tzadikim. And that's why also the Gemara darshans on Modror, the first spice mentioned in the ingredient of the Shemen HaMishcha, the Gemara says that where is the remez of Mordechai in the Torah? From this Modror, as the Targum in Aramis, it is called Meira Dachya, Mordechai, same letters. So, as Rosh Hashiva points out, what is the connection of Mordechai and his Mordechai? And he explains, because just as we said, the Shemen HaMishcha hopefully brings out that Kedusha that the Kohen is supposed to have and choose on his own, so also Mordechai in the time of Purim brought out, like the Shemen HaMishcha, the innate goodness of the Bnei Yisrael, that they were so bad that they were gezeira, as we know, to destroy them. And Mordechai brought them together to do a teshuva shleima. And the teshuva shleima went so far, the unbelievable madrega that Baruch Hashem, the Bnei Yisrael, reached at that time, was the kimul dekiblu hayehudim. As the Gemara in Shabbos explains, Rabbi says, what was the kimul dekiblu? Kimu maf shakiblu klor. The Torah on Har Sinai that they accepted. But even after the Nas of Nishma, when it came to the Kabbalah HaTorah, the Shat Ma'isr, Hashem Har-Sinai over them. And therefore, they had, so to speak, an excuse about that. That they were forced at that time. But now, at the time of Purim, they accepted it voluntarily. Throw out that idea of being forced. We want to accept it, the Torah, completely, to keep that Na'at of Nishma Madrega, not any lower. You could also say that the reason why, at least one of the reasons, Hashem did put the mountain over their head at Har Sinai time is possibly a test to see if the B'nai Yisrael would ever use it as an excuse. And Baruch Hashem, they never did. And on Purim, they even went higher. They threw it out the window. Then the Torah speaks about the Keteris. In Pasuk Lamed Vav, it says that the Keteris was ground up, and it says, Nasatim imenu pnei ha'edus b'yom ha'oed, should be put before the Eidus, the Aron, the Yom Ha'oed, which that's where the Mizbeach HaZav was put, and the Keteris was, of course, nikrav on it. Nikdaranit, Asher Yivoyed Lecho Shomel, Kodesh Kroshim Ti Lochem. So the Rosh Hashanah points out that it's interesting Lashon, that from the Pasuk it's not clear, it would seem as if you could even learn Asher Yivoyed Lecho Shomel is going on the Mizbeach Azov. And actually, you could say Lefnei Ha'edus, that connection that they have to be before the Edus, before the Aron place, the Mizbeach HaZav. And the fact also, as in last week's parasha we see, that the Keteris was the same time as the Hatavos Aneilos, the Menorah symbolizing the Torah Shabbat Peh. Rosh Hashiva explains why, in order to show that one who learns Torah can only accomplish in Torah and endure that Torah in him if he doesn't have a Lashon Hara mouth, personality. If the Avi Avos HaTumah of Hutu Hashem and Lashon Hara because of jealousy to put down the other person, to pick oneself up at the expense of the other person, all such terrible reasons, Torah cannot last in such a person. Has the Gemara in Sanhedrin with Daiga Daimi in Tehillim, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Malacho Zapir Chukai, that mouth, this person who's gone so low to speak evil, such evil, what is he doing speaking my holy Torah? That's what the Torah is pointing out here. You can't have one without the other. To truly have the Torah become part of the human being, that he becomes a living Sefer Torah, can only be without such terrible things. He has to live the Torah. Lo amed yishik el ha-maaseh, as the Mishnah Novi says. Without the maaseh, Torah alone will never last. will never be emes v'amita. As doig, in the end, Rachmana Yitzchak lost for the story. In the first pasuk that begins Sheni, it says, "Vayiteno Moshe chaloso ledaber ito," and he gave to Moshe the luchos when he finished speaking with him. And as Rashi points out from Chazal, it's written kechaloso, like its color, like the color. The imagery, of course, the Torah compared to the Kala, Bnei Yisrael to the Chasam. And Rashi points out that just as a Kala, the time of Tanakh, you see in Yeshaya, that it was the custom to adorn the Kala with 24 different types of jewelry, to show that just as the Kala is adorned with these 24 types of jewelry, so the Talmud Chacham has to be bucky in 24 runim of Kisvei HaKodesh of the Torah Shebichtav. And what the connection is between the Kala and the Talmud Chacham is the fact that the Eishes Chayil, the ideal Kala, she's doing this in order to show that that's her goal in life, to make her husband the Emetz of Talmud Chacham, to be bucking in the Torah, Kala Torah Kula. As we know of Rabbi Akiva and Rachel, classic example, because of Rachel, that's why Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva. As the Gemara says, when he came back after 24 years with the 24,000 Talmidim, and Rachel, his Eishes Chayil, came out to greet him, they didn't know who she was, so at first they weren't letting her in, and Rabbi Akiva caught sight of her and said, "Let her go through, because my Torah and your Torah is hers. Shaliv shalachem shalati. If it wasn't for her, none of us would have been zecher." And that's what the Kala is showing with the 24 different types of jewelry. That's her goal in life. The true Eishes Chayil, the ideal Kala, to do everything she can to make her husband the Talmud Chacham who she became. In Pasuk Vav, we see an interesting progression. By the Egel Azov, it says, "Vayashkimu mimacharos vayalu olos." They brought kabanos, olos, vegishu shlamim, vayeshev am lecho v'shasov v'ikum l'sachek. They go from, so to speak, the highest kind of kedusha to bring carbon ola, the highest kind of carbon. Then they go shlamim. Then they just sit down to eat and drink, and vayikum l'sachek, to do the Aveva. The Rosh Hashiva points out beautifully that this is showing us how the Eitz Zahara works. And we find it throughout history. That what does it do to try to show that the Aveva is Kodesh Kadoshim? When you bring the Aveda to that level, how do you do it? By bringing the mitzvahs, the Kedusha, to that level of the Aveda. You're starting with the Olos, And the whole purpose is to bring it down that it's kosher, mahadrim in the mahadrim, this aveira. Using the so-called kedusha, the highest forms, to make it all nice and rosy, which we see so many times throughout history, that the way these foreign ideas and trends that go against the Torah, their top means of doing it is to distort the Torah to their agendas, to prove it from the Torah HaGadosha, that the biggest aveiros are the biggest mitzvahs, Rachman Ratzlan. And that's like what the Gemara itself says, that the Torah could be a Sama Chayim or a Sama Motes, poison of death or the elixir of life. It's up to us. One has to always remember the Torah is perfect. It comes from Hashem who's perfect. It's only the human being who can distort it, Chas V'Shalom. That's what we have to learn from here. Not to Chas V'Shalom be caught in the Yetzer Hara's web in any form or manner it shows itself. In Pasuk Chaf Ches, it says that the people that were killed by the sword for the Egel Azov was about Kishloshes Alfiyish. So it's interesting that we see the Torah is always in the counts being exact. And here we see that the Torah just says about 3,000 people. So I would say that we can say, because here, especially if we learn the Erev Rav, that they were insignificant. Rachman Litzlan, they sang so low, they, so to speak, were worth the count. About 3,000, not important, because of what they did. Whereas people who follow what Hashem wants of them, each one is chashuv, that each one, it's not about how many you have, it's the exact count you want, that Hashem loves. One has to be aware, we notice that several times in this week's parasha, the Bnei Yisrael are referred to as Kesheyoreth, stubborn, stiff-necked. One has to always understand, as the Mechilta says, everything in this world could be used for good or for bad. Any trait we have is the same thing, of course, or else Hashem wouldn't create it. It doesn't create pure evil. The point is, as the Medrash says also, Ma'aseh Bereishis Tov Ma'od Zeh Yetzer Hara, because even the Yetzer Hara could be used for good. And this is what we want to show with the Kesheh Yoreth. Stubbornness could be terrible, as Yidden are taken to task here, but it could be a beautiful trait. When you're stubborn, stiff-necked, not to let the Yetzer Hara win over you, to keep at it no matter what, to harava over the learning of the Torah, to harava with all your might, completely to do the will of Hashem, to keep the Torah. That kind of ksheirah and stubbornness is the biggest commendable thing. And that's true with everything. To use everything in the world to serve Hashem the way He wants. And in the pasuk right before Chamishi, it says, "Vasirotzius kapi b'reisa sacharoyu fanai lo yiro." Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Rashi Sheva Shlita gives a beautiful explanation. He says, in the Mishnah Navros, you have, of course, Ezel Chacham Alamei Mikol Adam. But actually, there's another answer to that in the Gemara Brachayos, that Ezel Chacham Haroei Asanolad, one who sees the future. Chacham is one who can see the future. The Chassam Sefer points out that it's interesting. We would think that the Gemara would use the Lashon Haroes Hayilo. Nola is like something that was already, literally, was born, to see that which was born. So that's not the future. That's seeing the past. And with that, Rosh Hashiva gives pshat in this pasuk also. That ain achanami, as the Chassam Sefer says on that lashon, that the Chacham is not a Navi, he could be, but the Chacham is greater than the Navi, as the Gemara in Bava Basra says. Because without Nevuah, he sees the future. How? By the past, learning from the past, learning from the Torah Kedoshah, seeing history in the with the eyes of Torah, with Torah eyes, seeing the Torah itself, which was given to us in the past, and we have it now also. The Chachmas HaTorah, Hashem's wisdom, then you will be able to see the Nolad, what the future holds, how to avoid anything wrong, how to make sure that the Eitzer Chacham gives, a true Talmud Chacham, is true, the Halacha is true for future, what the person should do. It's because of the Chachmas HaTorah that Hashem grants him, because of his toil. And that's pshat in the pasuk here. V'ra'isa sacharoi, you will see acharoi, behind my back, what occurred in the past. Ufanai le'yeroi, you will not see the future in that way as a Navi would. But you will see it, the future, through seeing the past. The first pasuk in Shvi, Hashem is telling Moshe that he should write Es hadvarim ha'ele, ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele karati etcha b'ris v'Yisrael. So the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, points out that al pi hadvarim ha'ele, through the mouthery of these things, that's talking about the Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral Torah. Whereas Hadvarim Ha'ele Ketav is the written Torah. And the Rosh Hashiva Shlita in Koldodi points out beautifully that we see from this pasuk what Hashem is saying, that it is these words to write down, you have to write down, because it's only al pi hadvarim ha'ele, though, you should know that I'm making a covenant with you. You cannot have one without the other. The Torah Shebichtav alone is a closed book. Anyone who says Torah Shebichtav I accept but not Torah Shabbat Peh, or vice versa, is not bikaris, a non-believer. Hashem is telling us that it is only through both of these we can truly understand what Hashem wants of us and be considered a manin and a true yid. The Moshe points out in the Bedorash Moshe on the Maftir the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu took off the covering veil mask that hid the Gilu Shechina in the form of the light shining from his face. When he was teaching the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, he took it off. Otherwise, he covered it. To show that when you're teaching Torah, the Messiah, handing down from generation to generation, Rebbe to Talmud, nothing can be hidden or kept back. Whatever the Rebbe has, he must give, he must see, to complete the Talmud to the utmost. And the same thing with the Talmud, getting from the Rebbe. He has to make sure he gets everything there is available from the Rebbe. And yet, Hashem, we should always get from our teachers and our teachers from us the utmost that Hashem wants us to get with the greatest simcha and understanding. Tamid me'atav yad olam.